In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. And I think we know for a fact that we have a role in this life, and that is we are ambassadors for Christ. We are His ambassadors, we're His representatives, we are for Him and with Him. We often think about God's will. And if I would ask you, if you ask me what the most commonly asked question of me is, it is, how do I know God's will? When we're thinking of God's will, we're usually thinking about, what is it for me? What do I do? What choices do I make about me? But there's a deeper question I think we should be asking ourselves. And that is, what is God's will for me in the lives of others? Because don't forget, we don't live isolated. We all have a place in others' lives. Whoever those others are, whether they're family, friends, immediate family, wider community, there are always people connected. And so it's important for us to realize that God's will is not just for me in my own little world, but God's plan is for me at a wider level as well. There are people you meet every day. There are people you meet occasionally. There are people's lives you touch. And God wants us to be part of that. Ephesians 4:11-13 says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some preachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry." So He has given us all those functions, and we all have different things. We all have different functions. We all have different directions. And we all have a different purpose in our lives. But that purpose actually brings us together. So although our purpose is different individually, it is a collective purpose at the end of the day, as the light of God in the world. And that's why this whole imagery of the body of Christ is so important. It's important because our Lord says to us, "You're my body. There are different parts of you. There is the head, there is the arms, there is the feet, there is every part of you that has a function. And every one of you has just as important a function as the other." If we go on that passage, why does God give us these things? It is for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not for our own glory. It's not for our own purpose. Not for our own fame. It's so that we bring glory to the body of Christ and make the body of Christ better. The body of Christ as His church. We make each other better. Our union is to make each other better. These days we are celebrating the fast of the apostles. Looking at the service of the apostles leading up to their feast. The apostles made each other better, but they also made us all better through their ministry. They gave of themselves. We invest quite a lot. We invest in our careers, we invest in our families, we invest in relationships, which is good, and we must. You know, I don't want you to misunderstand me. We must invest in those things. Because those things are gifts and talents given to us. But we must invest equally and even more spiritually. We must invest spiritually in what we do for ourselves and for each other. I've got to work on making myself better. I've got to work on fulfilling my function. But I also have to look at the people around me. How many of us can actually say that we have a better effect on our families? We make them better people. We have squabbles, we have arguments, we have disagreements. And that's just part of normal dynamic. It's what families do. And of course there's not going to be a perfect family that doesn't have these bits and pieces going on in it. But am I making these other people better? Am I looking at their weakness and saying, well, I don't want to press on that button? Or do we intentionally press each other's buttons? Because we know. You say, if you were to meet some random person out in the street, you probably wouldn't know how to annoy them. You might, it'll be potluck, you might get it, you might not. But people who are close to us, we know exactly how to annoy. We know exactly how to push their buttons. We know exactly how to play on their insecurities. And that's unfair. Not only are we not making them better people, but we are actually exploiting their weaknesses, which is supposed to be a privileged information that we have. If professionally you were privy to privileged information about a client of yours, and then this client ceased to be a client, you couldn't use that against them. Yet what we do is we use our knowledge of each other to hurt each other. It's, you know, watch this. I'll make this hurt. I know how to tackle this so it makes a difference. He says, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ till we come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, the knowledge of the Son of God is really important. Basim was just speaking about tradition. Tradition, ritual, prayers, all of these things we do have one purpose. That is to know the Son of God and to engage with the Son of God. That's the purpose. To know Him is not enough. To know Him, but also to engage with Him. So when we have this tradition and this teaching we follow, it's not so that we can have more knowledge, because that's not what it's about. It's not just so we can attend a sacramental service and sing lots of songs. It is to know Christ and engage with Him. Looking at sacraments, looking at scripture, looking at teachings, we've got to use them properly. Don't just let them turn into a habit. Don't just let them turn into something we do without understanding. It is to bring forth the knowledge of the Son of God. We're also responsible for each other. Don't think that God is not going to hold us responsible for another. We have the parable of the talents, where the master goes away, comes back, meets the stewards, calls for them, and says, give account. Give account. What have you done with my property, with my things? Now, do you really think God is going to ask us what we did with our careers and our money and our finances and our properties, but not ask us what we've done with the people in our lives? Is He going to ask me, how have you invested your talents in your career, but not ask me, how have you invested your talents in your family? And I mean, as an immediate family, if you are in a relationship, or your family as sons and daughters, siblings, your wider family, or the family of the church. How many of us think we must invest that? You know, there's a huge burden on us. It's a burden of responsibility. 1 John 4:12 says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. His love has been perfected in us. No one has seen God at any time. What's the relationship between these two sentences? The first is, no one has seen God at any time. The second is, if we love one another, God abides in us. People see God through our love. Our love for them and our love for others. So when I love someone, and I mean the true sense of love, the proper sense of love, the godly love, not just romantic babble, a love that comes out of a commitment, a love that comes out of a sense of a value, an importance. People feel loved, and through that love, they feel God. One situation happened with me recently, through my travels. It wasn't here in England. Someone came and spoke to me about something that was, as far as they were concerned, very distressing. Something they couldn't share with anybody else. And they actually expected me to think, oh, you're a horrible person. But I didn't, because that's not what I felt. I felt true love, I felt true compassion, I felt this person was a spiritual child. And then, you know, that's what I do. It's what I'm here for. It's what God has called me to. And I got a message weeks later, saying that interaction and that love not only made this person feel loved, but gave them a little window into what God's love can be like. Now, nothing to do with me. And I'm sure if any spiritual father or confession father did the same, people would feel the same. But it's not just us, it's also you. Sometimes you will meet someone who is distressed, someone who is burdened, someone who feels like there is no value to their lives. Through your love and appreciation, through your commitment, through your faithfulness, they might get a small window on what God's love is really like. That's what happened with the apostles. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked the many streets as he served. But once he was taken up and he was no more, people didn't see him. They saw him through his disciples, because they were with him all the time. How many of us are godly in our actions? How many of us actually would be representing Christ in the way we live? Would we think that people would look at us and the way we deal with them and think, well, I'm getting closer to God through this? Am I edifying the body of Christ? Am I making Christ known? There are two sides of benevolent work. There's your benevolent work in the community where lots of people do wonderful things. They help the poor, they help the needy, it's all great, it's all wonderful. And it comes from a really special and deep place. That's one. That is expressing love. But does it express the love of Christ? We can't just do good things. Not just random good things. We need to do things that express to people and make it known to people that God loves them. That Christ is a reality in their lives. The apostles allowed people to get close to them and to see Christ through them and to engage with him through them. And it's only through that that they passed that message on and we've received it. Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to pass that message on. Starting with our families, our friends, our communities, and the whole world. The whole world. It was interesting walking through Dubai the last couple of days. Dubai is a Gulf country. It's a Gulf state. It's Muslim, predominantly Muslim. But there are lots of people there who work you know, particularly people from an Indian background, people from Ethiopian background, people from a Middle Eastern background, they're all working. And a lot of these people, especially what I've noticed, the Indians and the Ethiopians, a lot of them are Christian. And so there am I, an Orthodox clergyman, walking down the street in Dubai. And these people turn around and they would come up to me and say, "Father, please pray for us. Father, we've been here for a while. Father, we need support. Father, we need..." So it's just asking for prayers. And that's only because I'm visible. But you as Christians can have the same. And I'm sure in your own lives, people have come up to you sometimes and say, "You went to church, remember to pray for me." In Egypt, it happens all the time. In Egypt, there are many stories of Muslims who will go to Christians and say, "Please remember us in the prayers." Because we're seen as a praying people, as people who engage with Christ, people who demonstrate Him. But part of that responsibility is this: that for me to show the light of Christ, Luke 6:39 reminds us that the blind cannot lead the blind. If I am void of something, then I can't give it. If I don't feel the love of God, I can't demonstrate it. If I don't feel compassion, if I don't feel God touching my life, then how am I going to express that to others? It's important for us, at this time, in our lives, when we still have the opportunity, and we still have time, it's important for us to be able to demonstrate that. But to receive it first. How do we receive the love of God? How did the disciples do it? They accompanied Him, they lived with Him, they traveled with Him, they learned from Him. Now, we can't physically be with Him, but what's actually important is He's there with us on the altar. That's what the sacraments are for. It is a real interaction on a daily basis, if we want it. It's a real interaction and fellowship. Calls us to be one with Him. It's through this we feel that love of God through the body of Christ. How many of us feel valued by people around us? How many of us value people around us in the body of Christ? Because if we don't, then we're not going to be able to invite someone else and say, "By the way, this body of Christ church thing is great. You're going to feel God's love through it, so please come and join me." So today's message is this: as today's apostles and disciples, we have a responsibility to each carry out our function, but to each also be an image of Christ in the world, letting people feel His love through us, letting people feel valued through us, and letting people see that there is hope in a salvation through our own faith and through our own ability to demonstrate that in our love for Him, in our interaction for Him, in our presence with Him. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Take a couple of minutes just to reflect on that, please.